We're going to have the welcome address. Brother Robert Gericke will give us his thoughts. Brother Bob.
Thank you, Brother George and Brother Ed, for those words of prayer on behalf of us and the convention body. Good morning, brethren. It's been said already, but we'd like to welcome you to the 2002 General Convention of Bible Students. One advantage of being first is that no one can take your notes or your thoughts, which is always the concern of a speaker as he comes to the platform. But before we get into our message of welcome, we'd like to talk a little bit about the university and some of the items that we need to keep in mind to make the convention a success for ourselves, as well as an example of a Bible student mentality as far as our relationships to those who are here on campus working. So there were a few things we'd like to bring to your mind. One is that the other day, or that was last night, I went to unlock my door and I found it was open. And you're going to find, as I forgot, is that when you leave your room, you must use your key to lock your door. The door doesn't lock like a motel room and you can slam it and walk away. You must use your key and turn the lock to have your door locked. So keep that in mind as you leave your room each morning or afternoon. Regarding keys, you know, you had to sign a slip of paper that said, you're responsible for the fact that if you lose a key, I believe the cost is $25 to be paid for that key. Now, my grandson had a great idea. He said, you know, sometimes he forgets where he puts his keys. So he said, we could go down to the store here and get some keys made up for about a buck or two apiece, and we'd have some extra ones in case we lost a key. But when he saw it says on the key, do not reproduce, he realizes that that just didn't quite work. Another problem we have, and that is breakfast. You know, we all meet together at breakfast at the varsity cafeteria. And that's the only time that we meet as a body. Now, today, Saturday, and tomorrow especially is going to be a real problem, and that is we exceed the capacity of the cafeteria. So, in kindness to our brethren who are standing in line and coming through the line and waiting to have a table to sit at, we're asking you just for tomorrow if you would take the time to finish your food, get your tray over to the cleanup area, and vacate the varsity cafeteria at breakfast time. That would be a help to those who are looking for a seat when their trays are all full waiting for some room. Another item is that regarding the young adults meeting, if you read the inside of the program here, you found that I failed to change the amount of sessions from 4 to 6. And so the purple program is incorrect. There are programs on the book table, and I shouldn't say the book table, on the table outside the auditorium here that tell you that there are 6 sessions for the young adults. So please use that program. And of course, there's a listing of all the sessions and their subjects. And there are programs for all the young people. In fact, young people, we're just talking that Michael tells me that at the moment there's over 104 registered here at the convention. Now, registration's about 460, 470, and by the time the convention's over with, we're probably going to exceed 500. So we're going to have a very good turnout here at the convention. Parking, you know, if you park, there's plenty of parking lots to park your cars in, so don't leave your vehicle much longer than you have to at the curb, because if you do, it just inconveniences someone else, perhaps. So be aware that others have needs. And speaking of needs, you know those carts that go around and you put your luggage on and you're able to take them to your room? As soon as you take your luggage off at your room, please return the cart back. There's only perhaps a half a dozen carts, and these are used by all the brethren to take their luggage. And this is really doubly a concern on Friday morning when departure, because everybody at that time is departing on the morning of Friday. And so it's imperative that you quickly take your luggage to the curb, unload it, and take the cart back and make it available for others. Speaking of food, policy of the college is that you have the opportunity to eat as much of the food in the cafeteria as you wish. And some of us take advantage of that rule and eat too much, myself included. But the rule does say, though, that you must not take any food outside of the cafeteria. And I know it's kind of an easy thing to say, well, I'll take that apple and I'll put it in my pocket for this afternoon, or I'll take that banana. The rule is, no, you're going to have to eat the apple or the banana at the cafeteria. So please, if you would not take any food outside of the doors of the cafeteria. Eat everything that you can there and walk out without any food in your purse or in your pocket, please. Why did you come to this convention? I'm sure there's many answers, and many answers will be identical and maybe said in different words. But the opportunity to be together here today is a one-time experience here in the year 2002. Now, it's not the facility. I know the facility is wonderful. Mark Williams told us a little bit about the university here. The accommodations, the food, the rooms, the closeness, personnel. Talk to Michael Nakora and ask him what he thinks about working with the people here at Johnstown. It's like, it doesn't get any greater than this. This is just a wonderful experience, and it doesn't matter whether one man leaves and another man comes on, or a girl leaves and another young lady comes and takes her place. The spirit and the attitude seems to permeate those that service us here at the convention. And what a privilege, brethren, it is to be wanted and to be liked and to be so helpful to us at our beck and needs. You know, we have all the amenities of one could ask for. The counter's open at 24 hours a day. There's phones. There's a refrigerator if you need to have something in your room. You have your private baths. You have so much available, and you have the security. And what a privilege it is that we are here at this convention. So we really can't say much more than. It's overwhelming, and the opportunity that we have of being here with such wonderful hosts here at Pitt Johnstown. This is our fifth year at the college here. And you know, it's always a question is, where were we last year, or were we back in 1982 or 1978 and so forth? Is Sister Bonnie Buckles here in the auditorium yet? Well, I don't see her, but perhaps she'll be here shortly. She's put together a bookmark. She's done this for years and years and years, and this particular year's bookmark says, Beginning Years of the Bible Students General Convention, and it starts out with the year 1939, Lake Webster, Indiana. And it goes down and settles in at the bottom of Pitt Johnstown, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, the year 2002. And the text for today or for the week is on this particular bookmark. And it's one that you want to take home and keep because it's a great reminder of the many blessings of General Convention. I want to bring you two brethren's love. I happened to be talking to Donna Burke, and this was just, I think, on Thursday night, and she said, please give my love to the brethren, her and Bruce Burke's love. And Donna is the one who helps us out on our posters here. And then the second one is our old cook, Ruby. I shouldn't say old in the sense that she no longer is able to cook for us, but Ruby Williams wanted her special love sent to you, brethren, here, and she would be so much happy to be here, but health-wise, it doesn't permit. On Thursday, I went to the post office, which I had to mail something, and I mail every day at this post office, and the postman said, have a great time. Now, he knew the Dawn was closed because George Patience had told him that. And he said, have a great time, and we'll see you in a week. And I thanked him, and I went out. I went to the second post office where we deliver our bulk mail just about every day. And I told a gentleman there, and I said, we're going to be closed for the rest of this week and all of next week. And he says, oh, you're going on vacation. No, I said, I'm going to a conference, a Bible conference. And he said, oh, well, that's better than working. How do you tell someone of your experience at a convention? How do you explain that lump in your throat when you turn into the parking lot? How do you explain that feeling in your stomach when that first brother or sister grabs you and hugs you? Words just don't do it, brethren. You have to live it to believe it. But what a privilege we have had these many years. I'm just wondering, brethren, how many are here for the first time? Would you raise your hand? Okay, so we've got perhaps about, it looks like about a dozen here. I try to count out the number of conventions that we've had. It looks like the number is either 60 or 61 because we've skipped a couple of years, as our sister Bonnie has told us. We skipped because of 1943 and the war, and also 45 and 46, both because of the war problems. But this is like number 60 or 61. You know, we came here today with expectations of rich blessings, of being overwhelmed with the love of our brethren. We left here a year ago with the same thoughts of coming back this year and having a wonderful time once again. But what happened this past year? It's perhaps a year that has gone down in history as a year of great events. We in New York, we walked to the Dawn plant on the mornings, And we could see the Twin Towers and thought nothing of them, the skyline being about 10 miles away. But it was a sad experience to walk for a week after the plane crashes and see the smoke coming from the city 10 miles away. It was a sad situation to see the questions in the minds of people as to why this happened. You know, people who were workers around the area, they had to mobilize because they were volunteer firefighters and things like this. And so it affected not only the city itself, but many of the surrounding areas. And of course, it was major impact upon the people that live around our area, because we're a bedroom community, and the people work in the city and come out. So 9/11 was a great tragedy in the minds of the Americans and, of course, the whole world. This year we also experienced something from the standpoint of an Enron collapse, a WorldCom collapse. We also saw problems with the major religions having problems with their management and their leaders being sued for some despicable acts that took place many years ago. And so, brethren, we see our world turned upside down. We see Israel under attack. You know, it's one thing to see somebody explode a bomb and make a statement. But to do that with such hatred where they make the bomb the most deadly they can possibly make, and just recently where they blew up the bus, and as the people came out, then they machine gunned them down. Such a sad time, brethren, that we live. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrew brethren. The brethren were in Jerusalem. The year is somewhere around 60, 61. They have no idea, but the Apostle Paul knows that perhaps 8, 9, 10 years, which was, of course, after his writings, the city would fall and the temple would be destroyed. And so Paul writes a letter of encouragement to them and to us, brethren, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, and it reads this way: Let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our hope, as the Revised Standard Version says, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke or to stimulate, as the New American Standard says, stimulate unto love and to good works. And then the 25th verse says, and not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Or as the New American Standard says, as ye see the day drawing near. Well, brethren, I think we have the evidences around us that we're living in the end times. That soon this dark night of sin and sickness and pain and sorrow will pass away. And so the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to meet together, to come together so that we can edify and build up each other, and we do it the more earnestly as we see the day approaching. Back in 1938, I looked at some of the headlines that were taking place in newspapers. You know, it's interesting. Back in 1938, there was a struggle with the Arabs and the Jews also. And England, who had domination over Palestine, said, the Jews were really upsetting the Arabs, and so we're going to restrict their they're coming back into the land to 15,000 Jews per year. We don't want to upset the Arabs. We also had in the headlines concerning Israel is that the Jews living in Germany were suffering at the hands of the stormtroopers. And for the first time in 1938, the middle-class people joined in the riots against the Jews living in Germany. And it says thousands were beaten up, hundreds of synagogues were burned, and stores and establishments were destroyed. And, you know, there was civil war besides that in Spain. Bolivia and Paraguay were fighting. Austria joins the Reich. China and Japan are battling. And Hitler is marching across Europe. And our brethren were meeting in Lake Webster at General Convention. They probably thought the end was soon. They probably thought the evidences of God's hand with the people of Israel and the great time of trouble was surely upon them at that point. It's interesting. I asked a brother who attended that convention, and it so happens he was the brother who rang the bell for the mealtime, and that's our brother Leo Post. And he said that convention was held on the edges of a lake, and the accommodations were small little cabins. They met in an auditorium that was unair-conditioned, and it was the first General Convention, which had the title of General Convention, and there were hundreds that attended, and it was near Warsaw, Indiana. The names change, but yet the events continue on. The Lord has given us senses, and that is the sense of being able to smell and taste and feel and hear. And with that, we make impressions upon our minds, and we end up with recording these events in our lives, based on our five senses. But, you know, for the next moment or two, we'd like to look at our spiritual senses. And that's, I believe, is the reason why we have come here to the convention, to have our spiritual senses exercised. And the first one we're going to pick, and that is we've come here to hear. Well, you know, that's an easy one, and as we get older, our wives keep telling us, how come you can't hear me? But fortunately, we have such great acoustics here, and we have the ability to listen. We also have the ability to have videotapes and also audio tapes. But primarily, if we ask most everyone is, what did you come here? It was to come here to listen to the message of truth. The Lord was going to be speaking here at the convention. And if you look at your program, there's perhaps about 30 spots where there are speakers who are going to address us from this platform. And some of these speakers have assigned topics. One is the theme discourse of 2 Peter 3:11. And it seems to be quite appropriate to the day we live in. And so we look forward to that discourse. Then we also have a discourse on a subject that has somewhat puzzled the Bible students for perhaps 100 years, and that's the subject of the church's share in the sin offering and how that compares to the ransom. And we have a brother that's going to give us an excellent offering on just how this applies to the Scriptures. We also have a discussion on the offering of incense. We also have a baptismal discourse schedule. We also have the subject, I and my Father are one. And so it's going to be a discussion on the values of the Trinity. Is it scripturally supported? We also have a discussion on the sons of Jacob and the sons of Ishmael. And these are the basis for Islam and Judaism. And we also have a special question meeting where questions are going to be considered and answered here from the platform. So we're going to listen. We're going to listen and hear these words brought into our minds. And we're going to exercise this sense of hearing. Our second sense is we've come to see. You know, they say seeing is believing. We're coming to see friends. We're going to see relatives. We're going to see some new brethren we've never met before. And yes, we're going to meet some of the old friends. And yes, they look a little bit different than they did 20 years ago. But the eye of our mind is able to grasp and to bring them into our mind and to hold that memory hard and firm as a longing memory. We're going to see faces that smile. We're going to see the actions of brethren as they endeavor to show their love and kindness to each other. And so that's that sense of seeing. The third sense that we are going to exercise here at the convention is the exercising of the sense of touching or feeling. We're going to feel the warmth. We're going to feel or touch and see the love of the brethren. You know, it's that handshake that comes out. It's that face that concentrates right upon your eyes as we speak one to another. And it's the hugs. And it's the squeezing. And it's that warmth that permeates this auditorium, and it permeated the lobby last night. It's interesting. I remember one of the great memories of Albion was when it was warm in the evening, like it was the last couple of nights, and there were no air conditioners in those buildings, that we used to sit on the stairs of the registration hall and wait for the brethren to come in. And there might be 100 or 200 brethren sitting on those stairs. And as the car pulled up, the crowd would quiet. And there'd be a whisper, oh, here's brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And that was that touching and feeling as they came out of the car. And everybody would wave. And it was the welcoming of those brethren as they came to the convention. And I saw that last night. I saw the brethren grabbing and squeezing. And you know, I'm fighting a cold. And I tried to stay away from the hugging as much as I could. And as I tried a couple of times, the answer was, I don't care anyways. And so I want to apologize if for some reason you catch a cold and it's kind of me. I'm really sorry, but I sure loved the warmth and the warm feeling of the brethren. And you could see it and you could feel it in that room last night. What a privilege it was to be amongst the brethren. Then it comes the sense of tasting. Well, what are we going to taste here, brethren? You know, so far we've said we're hearing, we're seeing, and we're also feeling. But these are all external things that we're doing. But when it comes to taste, it comes inside. And so if we left this convention without tasting of the love and the words, of our brethren and of the Lord, we would go home empty. It would be all outside. But we must taste and make it a part of our inside life. So when we go home, we can rely on what's inside of us and say, as that sister from California used to say every year, this is the greatest convention yet. The best convention yet, Sister Goldie Wood. We come to the fifth sense, and it's the sense of smell. So what purpose does smell have? Have you ever walked into a building and you've been there before, and as soon as you walk in, the smell hits you, and it brings back such great memories, or could be poor memories too, depending on what the smell is and what the building is. But smell is a reinforcer. It reinforces what's in your mind, and it brings to mind and it reacts against what's recorded up in your brain. And so it helps to firm up what's already inside. So what smell are we going to come to here at this convention? Well, have you ever smelled an old leather chair that's super comfortable? Have you ever opened up a cedar closet and smelled the cedar from the old cedar wood? Or how about a box of wood shavings? Or how about a container of crushed flowers, dried flowers? They're wonderful smells, and they bring back such pleasant memories. I think the smell that we can take from this convention is that of our elderly brethren. The wheelchairs, the crutches, the sisters that are holding on to the brother that's holding on to the sister, the soldiers of the cross, the lame, the wounded, the afflicted, but they're here. They're here because they want to be here. More than any place in the whole world. And that's the smell that should enhance our appreciation of all the blessings here at the convention. And so as we see these old soldiers of the cross, it should stir up and firm up the commitment that we have made and to rejoice in the privilege of seeing and being here and tasting and feeling and hearing the Word of God. These are the senses that we need to work on this day. Yes, brethren, would say, a wonderful time. We're living in a terrible time. We always have those words to fall back on, the 12th chapter of Daniel, where it says that Michael shall stand up and there shall be a time of trouble like never there was before. And yet our flesh would say, well, we don't really want the time of trouble, but yet we realize it's God's plan. And we rejoice that we can see the work of our Heavenly Father being directed, and our Heavenly Brother, our Elder Brother, carrying out the work of our Father. We can see the time of trouble passing upon the face of the earth. We see something today that our brethren back in 1939 did not see. we see running to and fro. We see knowledge increased. You know, our brethren back in 1939 thought they saw running to and fro also. They saw airships. They saw a few planes, and perhaps none of them ever even took a plane to come to that convention. They saw knowledge. They saw the use of radios. They had automobiles. But look at today. Look at our lifetime. Look at tomorrow. The electronic world, the cellular world, the internet, the rapid increase of knowledge is covering the face of the earth. And is it all beneficial? Well, we can benefit from many things, but yet with it comes a price to pay. But we see knowledge increasing at a phenomenal rate today that we've never seen before. We see travel. We see, you know, how many of us came by airplane today or yesterday? So many have come here. The traveling is a way of life today. Jump on a plane and be here and in 4 hours, 3 hours, across the world. So we live in a time where the prophets talked about, a time when it would be evidence that God's kingdom would soon be here. It's a sad time because we know that the establishments of man must suffer. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we'd like to read what Paul wrote to those Hebrew brethren. Now remember, he was aware that great and terrible times were coming in just a few short years. So in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we read verses 25. And it says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh," but he's talking about Israel in the past. He says, "For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall they not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." So they talked about those who talked on earth and were giving directions. He says, how about those who hear the words from one who speaks from heaven? And it says, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised," and this is Jehovah. He says, "Once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens." And he says, "And this word yet once more," signifying the removing of things which are shaken as of things that are made, "that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore," he says, "we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear or piety." Yes, brethren, a time is going to come where the shaking is going to increase. And we rejoice because the kingdom is here. And that's what we would pray for when that shaking stops. And we know the process of resurrection, the process of blessing flows to all the families of the earth. The shaking takes place first. And this is the evidence before us. So here we are. We've got a great prospect ahead of us. For some of us, it's going to be 6 days, and for other of us, perhaps it's going to be another day or two and we must return home for whatever reasons known to us. But the Lord has prepared a great feast for us. It's not the first time that He's prepared it. He's been preparing feasts for His people ever since He gave the words of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and talked about festivals. He said, "I wanted you to come together and come as a family and come as friends and sit down and worship me for a week and remember what I've done for you." And that goes back a long time in Leviticus. But brethren, we have the opportunity before us today to exercise our spiritual senses. We have the opportunity to receive answers to some of our most difficult questions, perhaps, that we've been waiting to hear. We have the opportunity to receive a blessing from our brethren and also to be a blessing. We have the opportunity to share our love one with another. We're going to close with a scripture in Malachi. Malachi, third chapter, verses 15 through 17. Malachi 3. And Malachi was really writing about our time. He says, "And now we call the proud happy." And what, let's see where we have it. "Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Pardon me. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another." And how do you do that? One great way is to be in convention. He says, "And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." And that 17th verse says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels," or my peculiar treasure, "and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." What a wonderful promise is waiting for us, brethren. And yet, the wicked seem to be brought up, and they get away with a lot of things, but we're not the policemen of the world. Our responsibility is within ourselves. Within ourselves, and also to help our brethren make their calling and election sure. So that's the prospect before us, brethren. With great enthusiasm, let us enter this convention with a commitment that we're going to take home pockets full of blessings. They're going to dwell within our minds so that we can retain and exchange these thoughts with others who are not privileged like us. So may the Lord help us to be a blessing and to receive a blessing and to enjoy the prospects and realities of this, the 2002 General Convention. My, how time flies.
Kind Father in heaven, we as a group of your children have gathered here this day to thank thee for the gift of your dear Son. We've gathered here to hear your words expounded to us, to share the love and the warmth of our dedicated brethren one to another as we endeavor to serve thee in spirit and truth. And Father, we thank you for allowing us to come here this day. We thank you for that wonderful gift that's made this all possible. And Father, we thank you for the prospects that you've promised us concerning the days ahead. May the lessons that we will hear from this platform be taken into our minds and be made part of our life, that we might walk more closely and carefully in the footsteps of your dear Son. Now, Father, be with us in our conversation. Be with those who are sick and the afflicted and the isolated. And help us to be a blessing, and forgive us for the many places that we come short of serving thee in spirit and truth. Help us to walk in the footsteps of that wonderful example. And Father, we ask this all in Jesus' precious name.